Hello.
Hi there.
Good afternoon.
And welcome to series two of Meet at the Hotel Bar. After being tangled up in tabloid dramas, hitting the podcast charts, and unearthing some of the best kept touring stories you will ever hear, we are back again. Bigger and better. Who knew that was even possible?
If you are new here, we are Freddie, JC and Huss from the band Floors, a three-piece indie pop band from London via Huddersfield. Since we started touring and travelling the globe, we realised that there are so many funny things that happen on and off stage, and so many stories that never get shared with the rest of the world. They just stay in the dressing rooms and tour buses of the bands and artists that you love.
Until today. In this podcast, we're lifting the lid on life on the road, and where better to meet up and tell those touring tales than a place every touring musician knows very well, the trusty hotel bar.
Why so trusty?
Well, it's kind of like a nod to cocktail culture of the 1950s.
Where's he pulled that from?
In today's episode, we met up with Alice Merton in our favourite hotel bar. You guessed it, the Halo Hotel Bar at Islington's Hilton.
Is that like the third time or the fourth time we've been there?
We're residents now.
The British-based German-Irish-Canadian's singer-songwriter's debut single, debut single No Roots, has racked up over 340 million streams alone. She's performed at major festivals across the world, including Coachella, and recently supported Pink on her stadium tour.
Stay tuned to hear stories of nightmare flights to Prague, what it's like to start your own record label, how to remove a tick from your behind, and why margarine is a non-negotiable on her rider.
This is Alice Merton coming up on Meet at the Hotel Bar. Meet at the Hotel Bar. We are good.
We good?
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let's roll.
So, Alice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome to Meet at the Hotel Bar. I'm really thirsty, so I'm going to ask you the first question. And the first question, as always, is what would you like to drink?
What would I like to drink? I would love a gin and tonic.
Ooh. That is a good choice. What an epic choice. So our rule on Meet at the Hotel Bar is we have to get the same as you. So, Freddie, let's go order four gin and tonics.
Cool.
I've not had a gin and tonic in so long.
Are we talking regular gin as well, not pink gin?
Yeah, no, regular gin. Yeah.
And why is that, if I'm allowed asking?
I love a gin and tonic.
Okay.
Just haven't had one in a while. What should we get? What kind of gin should we get?
The most expensive.
Okay,
gin,
can we get four of the most expensive gin and tonics, please?
But singles.
Singles, please, singles.
The drinks have arrived.
All right. We've got to pour them ourselves, though.
Yeah. Hold on.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, cheers. Cheers, everyone.
I cheers.
Completely forgot we have to cheers, cheers. First. Okay,
that's all right.
Cheers, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
That's all right. So we'll get stuck in.
All the gin was at the bottom.
Did you not stir it?
I didn't stir it.
So how is festival season treating you? I saw you just supported Pink. Going straight there. It looked insane. Tell us all about it.
It was insane. I have never supported an artist that big. Mm-hmm. I was blown away. Like, I honestly don't know how to process those kinds of gigs because there's so much pressure up to the gig. And then after the gig, all of that gets released. And even looking out onto 50,000 people.
Is that what it was? Shit.
Yeah, it was 50,000 people. I think that's definitely the biggest show we've ever played.
Yeah.
And it was cool though, because we got to play a full set. But there were definitely points in our set where I was like, I don't know if I'm reaching anyone. I can only see like the first five rows.
Yeah.
And I started getting in my head. And then I think towards like the second half of the show, I was really enjoying it. I had so much fun. But yeah, afterwards I just like collapsed. I was like, "Oh my god, how do people do this?"
That's crazy. Does she still do the acrobatics where she like flies above everyone and sings and doesn't miss like a beat?
Yeah, she does that still. She flies over the whole audience on her last song. Have you guys been to one of her shows?
No, I've only ever seen it on, I saw it the Amazon documentary a while ago.
But that was so good, wasn't it?
So good.
When I watched that documentary, I was like blown away by her as a person.
Yeah.
Because I had no idea.
She like travels with the kids, doesn't she?
Yes. But she also, which is really cool, in each city does like vacation activities with the kids. It's not like, okay, we have to go backstage now and wait there. It's like, let's go cycling along the Donau. And I think that's really cool about her and her family, is that they really try and keep everything quite grounded. Yeah. So, it was just such a cool experience.
So did you know, watching that documentary, what you were about to be doing?
I definitely knew what I signed up for, but I mean, it's so different when you're in that position and actually have to like face 50,000 people and also try and convince them that you're worth listening to. I think that's something I definitely struggle with. Even if it's like, I don't know, 10,000 people, I've always struggled with these thoughts of like the whole imposter syndrome thing of like, why am I here? Are you guys even interested in what I have to say? Or are you just waiting for the main act to come? So, but it was really, really fun. And I don't know if I could do it every day, but it was insane. It was really cool.
Sick.
Sounds epic.
And so you've toured all over the world. What would you say is your favorite city to tour in?
What's my favorite city to tour in? I really love touring in Portland. I don't know if you guys have ever been to Portland, but it is a really cool city.
Isn't it where they invented Nike? Wasn't it Nike?
That's possible.
There's like
I don't
a massive
know.
Nike store there, I feel.
Is there? I know there's a massive bookstore, Powell's bookstore. I think it's like the oldest and biggest bookstore in America. And I like to go there, but I just think the people are really nice there. They really appreciate music. You give a show and they're nice. They get really excited and I've had really good experiences there. But I think our best crowd has always been, weirdly enough, in Czechia. So like Prague, or we did a festival called Colors of Ostrava, and it was so cool. And the people were so insane. I just feel like they're really grateful for music there. So, or they just like our music. I don't know. either way.
We've never been to Prague before. We've never played a show.
We haven't.
You guys should go to Prague. It is insane. It's so beautiful. But you haven't visited there either?
Isn't
it quite a stag do-y place, Prague?
Have you been on
a stag do, JC?
No, I played a gig there once, but when I was like sessioning, but yeah.
This is what I learned the last time I went to Prague. So I had to fly into Prague to do another festival this year. And I flew from London. I've never flown from London before. And my flight was literally the worst flight I've ever been on. There was a stag do of like 40 guys. They were all in like early 40s, late 30s. And they were so drunk.
Yeah.
And they were throwing things at the flight attendants.
Yeah.
They were being rude. One guy got in a fight with another flight attendant. Then they were like throwing food at me. This one guy was I was reading a book just because I was sat beside two of them and I was just trying to ignore it. And this one guy just wouldn't leave me alone and kept like just saying really inappropriate things as well. And I was just... So when there was turbulence, it got even worse because everyone started screaming because they thought it was really funny. So they'd be screaming and then the kids were screaming because there were kids on it. It was honestly like the worst flight I've ever had in my entire life. And I was like, I had no idea Prague was this much of like a stag do city.
Yeah.
Are you able to avoid it once you're there? Are there areas that you can go to and still avoid the British left?
I mean, the thing is, I've only noticed it this year. Every other year, we've always been in a part of Prague, I feel, where like I've never noticed it. But this year in particular, it was insane. And
Yeah, so Brits abroad, stag do boys, if you're listening,
it's a thing,
just
right?
Pipe down on the flights, okay?
Amsterdam, be nice to the flight attendants.
Yeah.
I feel like Amsterdam like kicked up, they changed like a law or something, did they?
I think they're really trying to tighten up on the whole drinking culture and the rowdy British thing.
Well, the thing is, you shouldn't... I mean, this is my personal opinion. If you're drunk and rowdy, you shouldn't be let on a plane. Because a plane is a situation... If there is an emergency, like, how are you going to kind of help this person? Or how are you going to, like, deal with this person? And the fact that one of the guys got into an actual fight with the flight attendant...
I'm surprised he didn't have to divert and
I was surprised as well. This one guy... Because I was then resat beside another dude because... The guy that started a fight was sat then in my seat because we had to rearrange the seating settings because he was just going ballistic. I was then sat by, I think, a Russian dude, and he's like, in Russia, we would tie this man up. And
like a Wolf of Wall Street where he wakes up and he's got like seatbelts around him. That's what I thought the protocol was. Yeah. If someone kicks off,
I thought that was the protocol too, but the flight attendants did such an amazing job of staying cool. I would have lost my shit. I already lost my shit. I was just like, get me off this plane. Get me off. I was so upset.
Did you see in the news the other day with the... where someone opened up the fucking door.
Yeah. Someone opened the...
During the flight. I read about that. But why? Were they like in a panic situation?
It's probably on the
air?
Way to Prague, wasn't it?
Probably was.
We all love a travel day story in Flaws. So what is the best travel day or day off that you have had that comes to mind?
So are we talking about like best travel day as in like everything was perfect and everything turned out like amazingly? Or are we talking about horrible?
Anytime you're on the road between shows or an interesting place that you've been to whilst on a day off.
Like a memorable, something that comes to mind.
Or if you were on a flight to Prague and it all kicked off on a plane, but we've just covered that. So another one.
gosh, I mean, we've had a lot of really nice like off days. I think one memorable day would definitely be, we all landed into, I think it was somewhere in Serbia, about to play a festival. No, sorry, it was Montenegro, Sea Dance Festival. We all...
Bloody hell.
Okay, we're all okay. Just going to rewind. Goodness me, that thought I'd been shot. We'll slightly rewind.
Do you want me to start the story again?
Yeah, you were somewhere.
We were somewhere. We were... I think about to play Sea Dance Festival. We all landed. None of our bags and none of our instruments landed.
Oh no.
So they all got stuck and we had a pretty good slot at this festival, but no instruments. And I think we were just panicking all for a day. We're like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And in the end we had to play the show half playback. So my vocals were live. And everything else, we had to call up my producer and be like, I'm so sorry, we need all these songs without the vocals for an hour and a half set. Can you do this within a day? I mean, it was fine for him because he had time during the
day. Like a whole set of songs?
Yeah, because we didn't have anything. And like this place we were playing at in Montenegro didn't have any stores where you could like buy instruments and stuff. And it was a disaster.
That sounds...
But I feel like I'm talking about a really depressing day off. Like I feel like... I feel like I should be thinking of something that was really nice.
Okay, have you been on any adventures, like places within a city? So, for example, when we spoke to Woody from Bastille, they went to a banana museum in the desert somewhere.
And so what was this banana museum about? About bananas? Like different types of bananas or things that were shaped as bananas?
Everything banana related, apparently.
T-shirts, pencil sharpeners, everything was just bananas.
That's so interesting. I feel like it's a very American thing to do, to be like, let's open up a museum about...
What is this guy's
round two. Okay. If we go again.
Being sabotaged.
He's got
a rival podcast.
It looks like a...
It's gone right through me.
Throwing it around.
What's the predictions on the third? It's going to be a
hat. How long it's going to be until he does it again?
I'll edit a third one in there.
We'll be coming back here again.
I haven't been to a banana museum. Okay, I can tell you that.
So it's a no on the banana museum.
I'm trying to think if...
Do you have any like things that you do as a band that you sort of keep up when you're traveling? So you try and hit a studio in a different city, or try and go to a garden center in a different city, or...
I think the thing is, everyone in my band is so different. So I've known the guys now for 9 years.
Same band.
Yeah, so we all met at university, but we're all very different. So Reggie, for example, Reggie's like a machine, and he goes and finds the nearest gym. So he goes and works out, and that's his day. Then Luca, huge coffee nerd, but like drip coffee or filter coffee, that's his kind of thing. And so he goes off and finds the best coffee place and then the best restaurant to kind of just have a really chill day. I'm recovering from anxiety and from just in general like lack of sleep, so I just tend to sleep. And then Busty goes and he just like goes on like a 5-hour walk. So it's really funny. Like we have moments where we spend time together, and that'll often be like at a museum, or we'll go to a bookshop, for example, or like there's this donut place in Berlin that everyone in the band loves. Like, they specialize in vegan donuts.
Sick.
Yeah. They
That's
are
nice.
They
and
are
then
great.
You said museum, so next is donut museums.
The next is,
right?
Yeah, banana donut museum.
Have you ever had a cronut before?
I have not, no. Have you?
No, I feel like...
I've heard of them.
Donut and a croissant.
Yeah, yeah. Bundled together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like a Ligo. Tigon.
The Liger of the bakery world.
And moving on.
Yeah, sorry. Next question. We'll leave that there.
The beauty of live gigs is that not everything goes according to plan.
Oh, yeah.
We've already had equipment not turning up. What would you say is the worst thing that's happened to you on stage?
I mean, I would definitely say, like, embarrassing things in the sense of, like, tripping. Those kinds of things where you can rewatch it and you know other people might be rewatching it and you're like, yeah. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. But I'd say that, like, the worst thing for me is actually if something happens where someone misses a cue and we miss the cue for the whole song. Like, this thing happened. So we played Zigget Festival last year.
Nice.
And it was our first, like, one of our first bigger festivals. We got to play the main stage. And my bass player, who kind of was in and out of the band a little bit, he decided that he was tired of touring. He's like, I want to start a family. I want to kind of take some time off. But he's like, I still want to do this gig with you guys. So he was a little bit kind of in a different headspace. And he didn't get his cue for the song. And then I didn't get the cue for the song. And then, like, a few bars in, we all, like, I look at Luke, at my drummer, and he's like, we have to start again. And normally I try and hide it where I'm like, somehow we've had, like, technical difficulties, but I was so ashamed and so annoyed and so embarrassed that, like, yeah, we had to start the song again. I mean, the audience was still super lovely, but it was painful. Yeah. It's one of those things that you relive and you're like, fuck, this could have been avoided. We all had to be, but the thing is, those things happen. And I've talked to other bands about it as well. And it's like one of those things, whether it's technical difficulties, whether it's something hasn't turned on or you don't hear your click or whatever, yeah, or you don't hear, you miss your count in or whatever. Like, it's just, it's...
I feel like everyone we've spoken to has had an issue like that, from whether it's been the playback rig setting on fire.
Yeah.
Setting on,
like,
fire.
Like the bass amp blowing up for Hugh from the Coops.
God.
Or like equipment failure. It's like, yeah.
Or it's
like
a real
even,
thing.
Even just not hearing something, like you said, yeah, that can trigger all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, if I have bad sound in my ears, which happens sometimes, especially at festivals, like, you don't get a proper sound check or whatever, so you just kind of have to go with the flow.
Yeah.
And then if I can't hear myself properly or I feel like I'm singing off key, I get so in my head about it. I just get so paranoid and start freaking out. And I think that's what happened at the gig as well. So, like, that Zigget show for me was a really difficult one. It was such a cool festival and I was looking forward to it so much. Cause that was also the year. So we opened up for Bastille. So that's how we met, Woody. And then we figured out that we're at the same festival on the same stage right after each other.
Wow.
And so we're like, this is so cool. We'll see each other in August again. And then coming off stage, having that kind of panic and anxiety of like, I don't know if it was a good show. I feel like I could have done way better. Couldn't hear myself. We had to restart a song. I don't know. I think that for me just, it stays in your head. Maybe, I don't know how it is for you guys. Like, have you guys had really difficult shows where something's gone terribly wrong?
Yeah, I think so. My sort of ethos is just, even if it goes all so terribly wrong, just smile and have a good time.
Yeah.
If it goes wrong enough that you have to stop and restart, just laugh about
it.
Yeah. Everyone that's there watching you wants to see you have a good time.
Yeah.
And it must be, it's so hard not to get in your own head about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know exactly what just happened, but they don't.
Yeah.
So, like, so that's the other thing. There's so many times that things go wrong and, like, no one has a clue. Like, and you might think that you've had, like, the worst, like, oh, that song's terrible. Or, like, you come off stage and you'd be like, oh, we missed this and that. And they're like, what? People are like, what? Like,
yeah.
No, I didn't hear that. Like, and some people that, like, you know, that know the songs, or like even like management, or like we've done things where we've spoke to Andy, like our sound guy, and we're like, oh, I didn't didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's so much that happens on stage that no one else is aware of.
Yeah.
And that's what's really funny about it, if you think about it. Like, yeah. It's, I think it's really funny because when we were opening the shows for Bastille, they would have like shitty shows as well. They're like, oh, we didn't like, this went wrong, but the audience doesn't see that. You're like, you're standing in the audience and everyone's like, yeah, this is awesome. This is so great.
Yeah.
And then you come backstage and then everyone's like, oh man, like this was, we fucked this up. But that gave me so much relief because I was like, okay, this is normal.
Yeah.
This is okay. Like, it's okay that I get in my head about this stuff and it's okay that stuff goes wrong. And maybe people don't even notice it.
Especially at like festivals where you literally will have a 15-minute line check. How can you possibly eradicate all the problems in the world with 15 minutes plugging stuff in?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's also like with pop music these days, like unless you have a 20-piece band, there is going to be an element of track and backing track.
Yeah.
And I think most bands are at the point now where they're willing to accept that. They're willing to let the public know. Like every artist, like you said, always talks about track and technical stuff.
Yeah.
And that just comes with its own world of problems or potential problems.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a minefield, isn't it? Yeah. Everyone does it slightly differently.
Yeah, the playback rig is the scariest bit of equipment, isn't it? For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Glad I'm not in charge.
So who's in charge with you guys?
I run it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's touch wood, it has never done us wrong. It is.
That's so good.
Rock solid.
I'll knock on wood for you as well.
It's been a trooper.
Yeah. And then
we lost Channel 5 for a while.
We did lose Channel 5.
Rest in peace, Channel 5.
But somehow Channel 5 is back now.
It just didn't
work on the last European tour. I lost Click for like 2 songs and had to rig up the backup rig whilst playing.
Yeah.
And again, no one knew. It was just, yeah. But yeah. Welcome back. Shout out Channel 5.
Yeah. Nice one. Did I read somewhere that you were bitten by a tick in Berlin?
Yes.
Was that on stage?
That was, I don't know if that was on stage or if it was before.
That's scary.
I mean, yeah. I didn't know what it was when I saw it. And then I realized, I tried to like get rid of it and I realized, okay, this isn't just anything. This is attached itself to my skin. So I pulled it out of my skin after about 10 minutes and realized, oh, there's a part still there.
Yeah.
So the head was stuck. And I had to go to a doctor. And then it was even worse because at the doctor's, they like...
Was this before the show or after the show?
This was after the show. So got home from the show, looked at myself or like went into the shower, realized, oh, there's something on my... on my butt.
Oh no.
And then I had to go to the doctor the next day because I was like, I probably should get someone to help me get rid of this.
You did the right thing.
I think I did. And they said that as well. But the funny thing is I thought it'd be like a matter of like 1 second. She needed half an hour and she had to get a second doctor to come in and remove the head.
You have to get like specialized tweezers because dogs get them quite a lot because they hang, basically a tick hangs on long grass. Uh-huh. So if you take your dog on a walk.
How do you know this?
I'm a tick expert, my friend. Have you been
bitten before?
I've not, but I've had a friend that had, that was, and they had to drive like 6 hours to a hospital to take it out straight away.
Shit.
They're super dangerous.
Yeah, they are super dangerous.
So, but you, and funnily enough, on my Instagram feed, this is how much I'm into ticks. on my Instagram feed the other day, a video popped up of how to remove one from a dog because the dog had got one in its back and it did like a
special thing.
Yeah. Hey, good algorithm, bro. So yeah, you did the right thing getting it removed.
I did the right thing, but yeah, lucky for me, like the doctor was just a 10-minute walk from where I was staying. But yeah, it was also really embarrassing though, having like a second doctor come in. I was just like flat on my stomach. My pants are off. And then the second doctor comes in and is like, what do we got here? So yeah.
So we've heard quite a few bad things that have happened to you. We've had the ticks.
I feel like I need to bring some positive energy.
So switch this.
What do you consider to be the highlight or thing you're most proud of that maybe you would tell someone that didn't know you were a musician, about what you've achieved or whatever?
The thing I'm most proud of. If someone asked me like what am I most proud of, I would definitely say the fact that that we kind of built this up ourselves. So we never signed a major record deal. My best friend and I, so also a guy I met at university, we're both studying together. We started a record label, which at the time we were like, what the fuck are we doing? This is going to be insane. I was signed as a songwriter and I was writing for other people. I was writing for like a DJ project. And so I started earning a little bit of money and I put all that money into this record label that we started. We called it Paper Plane Records, just because no one wanted to sign us. There were like record labels interested, but it was those talks of like, we want to hear some more productions. Maybe you work with other producers. This song, we're not really sure about this song. It might be too rocky, too poppy. Like they wanted to change everything. Yep. And I was, at the time, I was just so sure that this was going to be an EP that I put out whether they liked it or not. And so I was just really impatient. And I said to Paul, I was like, let's just do it. Let's start this record label. And the funny thing was, is that one of the songs on that EP was the first song we released. Called No Roots, and that was the one that then started generating a little bit of hype, and that was the one that kind of started getting put into playlists after a few months. It started like just, it had like that snowball effect of people wanting to listen to it, and then it was really funny to come see these record labels come back and be like, actually, we're really interested in like,
it wasn't too rocky.
And so I think that is one of the things I'm most proud of is the fact that we've, up till now, still kept our record label. So I own the rights, and I can make my own creative decisions. If I want to have 2 years of a break, I can do that. If I want to put out an EP that sounds very different, I can do that. If I have something that's really unsuccessful or whatever, I can do that and then say, okay, well, I'm releasing the next thing 2 months later, rather than having a record label be like, okay, we need to rethink the whole plot. Like maybe we need to make you guys more, I don't know, like punk. Punk's really in right now, so let's go punk. Yeah. And I think that's something that I really cherished, of having this freedom and never that pressure from someone above. I mean, I have my own pressure in my own head of like wanting to make things people like, but at the same time, I'm just thankful that like I don't have, like I've seen other artists really suffer from that pressure and I don't want to have that. I always want music to kind of be the one thing that I still enjoy. Like, you know, when you make a hobby your job, it's like, well, it's not really your hobby anymore. And it's still fun, but it's like this pressure that you always have to succeed or that you can't really just play a song for fun anymore because you always connect it with work. And I feel like I've always wanted to try and avoid that.
I think it's so cool that you did that at the start as well, when you're at the beginning of the journey and those voices would be quite tempting because you think, oh, they've got power and they might be able to get us somewhere, but you stuck to your guns. That's really cool.
I mean, we were tempted. There were people who are like, we can bring you, like when No Roots was then put out, there were a lot of labels inviting us to like see a whole, like we had a whole tour of Capitol Records. They were looking to sign us. There was a bunch of record labels, but I think in the end it was really the smart decision. We did sign in America with an indie label who we thought was just super cool, and they took care of like the American and Canadian market because we had no idea. I had no idea how much radio promotion costs. I had no idea the amount of work it is when you do radio promo in the States, that it's like literally getting up at 5 a.m, flying to the next city, doing 3 or 4 radio stations, doing like radio shows for all these stations, doing meet and greets, then actually doing your show in the evening, falling asleep at like midnight, waking up again at 5 o'clock to do the next city, and doing that for weeks and weeks. Because that was intense, but it was so good to learn that and to work with them because they did such an amazing job and they also respected the artist rather than just see it as a machine and be like, okay, we need to pump out all of this out of you all at once.
So let's take it back to day one. What are your memories from your first ever tour?
First ever tour. I guess it depends what you define as a tour. Like, how many concerts do you need for something to be a tour?
18.
18?
I think two.
Yeah.
Like
two or three.
One after the other, like being away, that feeling of like being away for the first time and
on
like
a bus or,
you know, on a van or whatever. Like what?
Okay, then I'd have to say the first experience would be the one where we did our first American tour, where we were like, okay, we have no idea what to expect. Let's just do this. It was pretty insane. It was a really nice time at the time itself, it was stressful. Like it was just, I was just always under pressure. I felt like I couldn't sleep. But it was really nice to kind of just see people's reactions for the first time. Even if we were playing like, I don't know, 100 to 200 capacity locations, it was really interesting to just kind of like, that was, yeah, that was our first kind of proper, like we'd played shows within Germany because that's where we started. And we'd do like one show there, a week later, another show there, but never for like a whole amount of time, like a proper tour.
Yeah.
So I definitely learned a lot. We stayed in some pretty shady places, which I learned later on you probably shouldn't stay at. Although I feel I should be careful what I say. But yeah, it's a chain of motels.
Is that where you pay by the hour? Is that kind of?
Kind of, yeah. And no, like no one's at the front desk. Basically, anyone can come into your room at any time. They could just, like, the locks aren't that secure. You just literally push open the door and someone can, and the areas we were staying in as well. Like, it was just, but at the time, we were like, this is fun. We're from Europe. Like, this is.
It just feels like a film, doesn't it? Like, bad stuff happens in the movies. Only.
Yeah. And I mean, even though my accent sounds American, I mean, I grew up in Canada, but I didn't really, like, I'd never really spent that much time in America. So for me, I was like, yeah, I'm sure this is fine. Like we won't, nothing will happen here. And then you read like about these horrible things that happened on the news, in these motels and all over America. But yeah, sorry. I'm going into like a negative touch again about touring. Touring is great.
Just to we stayed in a motel in America once and we barricaded the door. And we were like, we had no
All three of us in one room.
All three of us in one room. We got an extra bed.
Yeah, we had to get our own bed as well. Yeah. We had to carry our bed.
Yeah. How are the beds though? Because the, like, not comfort wise, but just like, my beds had stains everywhere.
Oh no, so the guy at the desk literally led me down the stairs to get my bed out of a cupboard and I had to carry it myself
to
the motel
amazing.
Room. Yeah.
I love that.
And then shut the door and I was like, guys, I think this is a bit sketchy. And then we heard like gunshots.
Yeah, the windows had bars.
Oh my God.
Gunshots, but we had intense. Just arrived, so it was like jet lag was really hitting us quite hard.
Yeah.
So we slept. We slept okay.
And then we woke up in the morning and met Patrick Stewart for breakfast.
Yeah. Wow.
It was just a very, like, we went for like a bougie breakfast.
Yeah.
Like with the label and it was just a crazy, like, you know, we were in that motel to then go into this really bougie restaurant and ended up chatting with like Patrick Stewart. Yeah.
That's pretty insane.
It was like the two
the
sides
contrast.
Of, like,
contrast. And then thankfully we went to our nice Airbnb with no bars on the windows.
Oh my God. Yeah, sounds like you guys had some awesome times in America.
Yeah. We should travel in motels more. I think
more stories.
One thing I've learned today is trust the motels in the US.
Motels all the way. Yeah. No, we've had some really fun experiences too. I just want to like mention we've had some great experiences. But like the first tour, the first tour is always like, it's exciting, you know? Like you don't know what to expect and every day is a new adventure. You're constantly tired, obviously, because like it's when you're touring America, I feel you like, I mean, at least that's the way our label did it with us in the sense that they're like, yeah, we're going to pack as much as we can into this time of space of time. And, but yeah, I had so much fun and I wouldn't change anything about it.
And what has changed from then to now? How different has the, is the American experience even now or general touring experience?
No motels.
No motels, or at least no motels in places we shouldn't be in a motel.
Right.
How has it changed? To be fair, we haven't actually done our own American tour in 3 years. So since COVID, we haven't properly been back. We went back with Bastille to open for their shows.
Oh, nice.
But we were on a bus there, so that was kind of like... It didn't really make much of a...
Go to the Banana Museum?
And we didn't go to the Banana Museum. What? Do you guys have that where everything just becomes one big blur?
Yeah.
And you're just kind of like, it all happened on one day, but it's been like 6 years.
Yeah.
And
really
you're trying
bad for,
to...
Like when you were saying, have you been to Prague?
Yeah.
Like, I may well have played there.
Yeah. But you have no idea.
My memory of cities is so bad because you often just play the venue, get back on
exactly.
the bus, go to sleep, and
exactly.
then you've left it.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally get that.
Yeah. We've had so many fun experiences there. I'm just trying to think like what one thing stood out. There was one day that stood out, but it wasn't actually anything special. We went into a park. There was a bar right there. And then there was a restaurant. We all sat there until like 2 a.m, had a great time. I think after every show, we tried to kind of just find a bar in each city and just chill out. Like I think the Bastille guys are some of the nicest guys I've ever met on tour, and I'm sure you guys can confirm that.
We always say that as well. Like, we had like Woody on the show on the show season one, and we said that to him, that everyone says that they're just the nicest guys.
Because they are the nicest guys. Like, I had my concerns going all the way over to America to tour again, but then once I met them and realized how nice they were, and especially like afterwards. So they then asked us if we wanted to do the European tour with them. So then we got to tour Europe with them in November, December of last year. And then Woody afterwards, he's like, hey, let's write a song. And I literally just put out the song that we wrote together with Woody.
Amazing.
So it's one of those things that, like, I don't know. I got along with everyone on that team. I love their crew. They're so nice. They're so understanding, and they work so fucking hard. And it was so enlightening for me to see. Like, I think that's one of the coolest, best tours I've ever been on. And I'm just happy that we could stay in touch and just like, do fun stuff together. So, yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Just pause, because this could end in another.
Drop. We're not even that close to the kitchen. We're quite the other side of the room to the kitchen.
Probably thought you guys wanted some sound effects just to make it sound more legit.
Like, I'll add some reverb to that, and it'll sound gorgeous. There's like wind chimes.
It's probably the quietest hotel bar that we've recorded an episode. There's only three other people in the whole hotel bar, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a quieter.
I mean, it is a, what day is it today? Wednesday? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday evening.
Yeah, Tuesday
evening.
So maybe
people aren't like painting the town red yet.
Yeah.
And I guess the Hilton isn't the place that you would, if you were painting the town, you wouldn't be hitting the Hilton, would you?
Probably not.
I mean, the Halo bar in Hilton is pretty cool.
It's pretty lit.
Yeah. I'm having a great time.
So we're putting together a big list of our rider. Well, basically, we're trying to improve our rider, basically. We're asking everyone that we have on what they have on, so we can
steal their ideas.
Steal the ideas and create the ultimate rider of all time. So, what's on your rider?
What's the most outrageous thing?
So you guys can steal my magnificent rider ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so boring. I just put Bavarian pretzels.
Bavarian pretzels?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that's not boring at all.
No,
that's
is it actually
shout.
Something unique?
I love some pretzels.
Yeah.
Pretzels are so good, but they're not sweet. They're salty. Eh?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
What's the Bavarian element?
They're just like the best ones you get are in Bavaria. I mean, I don't ask them to be imported from Bavaria.
I mean, they have to be.
They have to be from Bavaria. No. I like pretzels in general. I think if I see pretzels, I'm like, oh, this is really nice. Because I lived in Munich for 5 years, and pretzels was like my dinner, my lunch, my breakfast.
Are these like the big chunky like meal
the big
ones?
Chunky,
the big ones, not the small. I was thinking the little crunchy things.
No, sorry, with a little bit of salt. Big ones, like the whole. It's like a big pretzel.
Oh, like a Mr.
Have
pretzel.
You guys been to Oktoberfest?
We have actually, yeah.
So have you seen the big pretzels there?
No. We didn't. I think.
What? Really? They're at every stand. You guys
really?
Can, yeah.
Do we have hot dogs?
We had a lot of Stein.
Yeah, we drank a lot of beer. I'm not sure we ate any pretzels.
They sell them. Cause
JC guys, was eating like the little ones.
These are great Bavarian pretzels.
Yeah.
Now we were literally on tour in Munich, and we had a day off.
Yeah.
And we were literally like, we got to the hotel and we were like, oh, what should we do? And we literally looked on a map and we're like, oh, I think Oktoberfest's on. And we literally...
Is lucky.
It was like a 5-minute walk.
Oh, yeah.
Like legit 5-minute walk to the place. And we were like, my God.
And we had a day off.
We've hit
after.
The jackpot.
Yeah.
Like,
it's insane, isn't it?
I feel like that was secretly planned by the tour manager. We had no idea.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
To organize your tour exactly on the day where you'll be in Munich at October. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that happening. Oktoberfest is great. But yeah, look out for the pretzels, the big ones, not the small ones.
Okay,
other than pretzels, what else is on there?
I like to put margarine on there.
Margarine?
So I like...
For the pretzels?
For the pretzels.
Really?
Yeah.
Cut it open and then put them...
Put margarine.
Do you toast
in?
Them? Are they already toasted?
No, I don't toast them. I just put the margarine inside.
Because then you'd have to have a toaster on your rider as well.
Because in Germany, they call it a Butterbreze, which means they put butter in the pretzel, but I can't eat butter because I have a milk allergy, so I like to put margarine in instead. Yeah, so that's what I like to do. And I like, I put sandwich stuff on my rider. So anything for making sandwiches. And it's actually really cool because if the catering's really shit, you can just eat a sandwich.
Yeah. That's actually another theme of that tour where we ended up at Oktoberfest. Every hotel we stayed in, we made sandwiches from
for the road. From the
we were just skinny, weren't we? We were just.
we still make sandwiches.
Yeah, those were the days.
As skinny to your eyes,
we're going to be making. This is
it's
the last two we went at night.
Who doesn't
it?
Like making a sandwich at the hotel breakfast?
And then 2 hours later, you're on the bus and you suddenly remember you've got a napkin wrapped them out.
Yeah.
We used to leave the whole thing. You get like a napkin, and then you make your sandwich up from the breakfast thing, and then you put that in that pocket, and then you get another one, and we'd literally leave. Just like
leaving crumbs as we walked out.
Well, but see, and I totally respect that. Simon, who is he's part of our crew, he literally comes down 5 minutes before breakfast closes, takes a tote bag, and just puts everything in his tote bag every place we went to. And he was never like embarrassed, or he's like, I'm paying for it, so I might as well take it.
Well, I guess that might answer our next question, but we were going to say, do you have any touring top tips?
Touring to have to take a tote bag with you.
Little hacks to get by on the road.
Tour tips.
Or maybe what couldn't you live without? If there's something you always have to take with you, or
so on a tour bus, I would say I always take my own pillow.
Nice.
Because the pillows on the tour bus often just aren't as comfortable, and I'm someone, if I don't have the right pillow, I just sleep really badly.
Hmm.
So I take a pillow. I take my own pillowcase. I take sleeping. Not sleeping pills, but like anything that'll help me get to sleep.
Yeah.
Any kind of ear, what's it called again? Like I sleep with in-ears in and music on because...
With music on?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But like sleeping music. I can't sleep on a bus. I figured out this year, the only way I can sleep on a bus is if I sleep in the lounge. So I'm like that one person that when you come into the bus is just asleep on the sofa in the lounge rather than in the beds.
Is that because of other people snoring or whatever, or just?
No, I think it's because, I mean, the sound is just because I don't like the sound of the bus. Like the brumming of it just keeps me awake all night. I need silence or like calming music. But also I feel super claustrophobic. Like I'm always terrified that something's going to fall on me because they're quite...
They're like coffins, really.
Yeah. You're like entering your coffin.
Yeah.
And I think I would wake up every 2 hours feeling very sick, very nauseous, and very dizzy. So I tried it once where I just fell asleep in the lounge or like even just the front area where people sit, and it worked perfectly. So I just have to hope that it's not like very, very wobbly, because otherwise I'll fall off, obviously. But no, like I really enjoy sleeping on the couch on a bus.
Yeah, and we all know how important sleep is on a tour.
So important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been mentioned quite a few times actually by guests.
Yeah.
I found a really good pair of ear blockers, like sound blockers.
Really?
Called Sleepios.
Sleepios.
Sponsors of today's show.
Yeah. That's so good.
If you're having trouble getting to sleep.
Yeah, but that's
amazing.
They're
great, honestly. I'm a really light sleeper, and that's been an issue for me. And
yeah.
They're kind of like they mold to your ear, and you really can't hear anything.
I think I was gifted some.
I'm always scared they're going to just slip into my ear.
They're good, honestly.
Yeah?
I would recommend.
Is that what I would? So our tour manager gifted me a set because I bunked with him on the last show we did.
Yeah.
And he was like, I snore and you're going to need them.
Oh, wow.
And I've kept them since. And obviously they were a fresh pair.
Yeah.
And they are wicked.
Yeah.
I use them all the time.
Yeah.
Really good.
Okay.
No danger of it like...
melting into
in.
Your ear.
Yeah, no, they're really
perfect.
Good.
Yeah,
I have good. Small ears as well, so I feel like it wouldn't be able to do that anyway, but I'm going to remember that for next time.
Yeah, Sleepio.
Okay, on to my favorite section.
Oh, wow, now. Okay.
So other than the guy on the plane in Prague, have you had any beef with anybody in the music world?
Oh, okay.
In touring life, in... recording life, another artist, any beef you want to air, anything you want to get off your chest. Like, I hate that guy, his songs suck. I don't know. Any
That's
beef?
That's so funny. Gosh, have I had beef? I'm not really a very argumentative person. I'm like stubborn. I'd say the biggest beef I've had with anyone is, funnily enough, my best friend, who's also my manager, who I started the label with. Him and I, like, I don't know if you've had this where... if you guys were friends before you started a band. But we were like good friends before we started. But as soon as you start working with someone, the relationship changes.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've known him now since I was 20. So like 9 years. And it's really interesting to watch our friendship kind of evolve, but go from like these phases of getting along well to being like, we can't work with each other anymore. This is too difficult, to like, I need you. Like feeling very dependent on them. I'd say like, yeah, my manager and I, we've had some big up and downs, but the thing is he's always been my biggest supporter, and I know he always comes from the best place. Like he's always going to support my vision, I feel. Mm-hmm. And I think that's worth so much in this industry. I don't think I've ever had beef with an artist. I have had it with an artist once where,
here we go. All it took was 5 minutes. Who is it?
So, I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to name any names. I did a song with an artist.
Okay, that's researchable.
I did a song with an artist. What year? and it was really cool, and I was a big fan of this artist. And we got along really well. I'm getting nervous telling this story. I've never told anyone this story, but it makes me so sad because I really respected this artist, and I was a feature on their song, and we recorded like the song and the video and everything. But when it came to the promo of it, their label came back to me saying, so this is the time frame. And I was like, oh, that's really unfortunate, because we're also promoting our own song at that time. Is there any way we can like fit in both things? Like, can we move one? They're like, no, this is definitely happening here. You're going to have to adjust. So I was like, okay, well, I'll try and do all the promo stuff that's possible. But weirdly enough, when it came to doing the promo, they kind of let me hanging. So I was promoting their song on a lot of the things. And then a lot of like promo appointments were kind of colliding. Mm-hmm. So there was this one big one in the UK that I couldn't do. And they were really upset about it. And I don't think it was ever communicated that we were just we couldn't move our appointments either, because we had planned them months in advance. And so this person ended up recording the song again with someone else.
What?
And didn't tell me. And I had to find out then just like through Spotify, where I was like,
oh, wow. The song was never released.
It was. So ours was released as the main one, but for some odd reason, it was released again with another singer. And I was like, this is really sad. Like,
was that in the same language? Because obviously, sometimes
language,
you get features. Yeah, yeah.
Same, like everything, same words, same everything. And this person didn't even, like, the artist didn't even come to me and say why this happened. And we never got to talk about it either. And it makes me sad to this day, because I respected this artist so much. Like, I was a huge fan. And it just, yeah, it made me sad, because I tried everything to try and like move our thing so that we could do some of the promo, but there was a bunch of it that we just couldn't do. And this was like one of our biggest streaming songs at the time. So, we haven't really spoken since. And I've never really reached out in the sense and said, hey, by the way, why did you do this? Because
I think now's the time.
Now's the time. We have it in
Twitter.
The podcast.
Let's get on Twitter right now. Send some hate mail that way right now. Let's air it out.
Oh, man. No, I'm one of those people, like, the thing is, I don't know how much was the artist's decision and was the label's decision. Yeah. I think the label can be very persuasive at times and say like, hey, this person can't do this promo. You're going to have to record the song again with someone else. I mean, the version we did still streams more than the other version.
That's what I like to hear.
But it just made me sad, because I like open communication. I like transparency. Mm. And if they had just come to me saying, hey, by the way, we're going to record this with someone else as well, is that okay for you? I'd have been like, yeah, it's sad, but I totally get it. If that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do. Yeah. So
it was like a really weird move for them to do, because
it was a weird move.
Like a fan's perspective.
Yeah.
It's going to be totally confused.
Yeah. You're like, why is the same song coming out 2 months later with a different person? Did they hate the first person?
Yeah.
It's something that definitely made me very sad for a long time.
Well, shame on them, whoever they are.
Whoever they are.
And I will never say who it is.
We'll find out and put it in the show notes.
If you fast forward to minute 36, you're in the beef with.
I'm joking.
Yeah, we won't. Really. We won't.
Okay, so we've come to the last section.
Oh, man, okay. All right.
It just goes so fast.
It really does.
This is the quick fire round section.
Okay.
It's basically the first thing that comes to your mind. So you, when we say, yeah, if we would say like cats, you would say dogs, and you, or whatever you would say.
Or whiskers.
Okay.
Whiskers.
Okay.
Yeah, or whatever. And you can answer as just one word.
Yeah.
So you can answer as just that.
Yeah.
Or you can divulge. Elaborate. That's the one. There we go.
Divulge.
Okay, so I have the option to elaborate.
Yeah, you can do. But you can just leave it if you want.
Okay.
I'll start off. So when we say no roots, you say...
God, what do I say? Okay, this is like a practice round.
This is the real round. Yeah, this is real. We went straight.
This is the not so quick fire round.
Cats was the practice round.
Okay, see, my brain works really slowly. Okay, so no roots. I would say, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Berlin. Do I need to elaborate on that one?
If you want to.
I'll shortly elaborate. I just recorded my very first EP there. And it was this place called the Funkhaus. And it was super, super cool because everything was like, there were squatters, there were people living illegal. Like, it was just so run down, but it was so cool.
I've been told to check that place out, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Don't check. It doesn't make sense now because they've done the whole... what's it called? Gentrification of it. Like, there's like modern stuff in there. But when I was in there, it was like super rough. There was like paint falling off of the ceilings. The lights didn't work.
Sounds like a motel in America.
I prefer it
oh,
now.
It was crazy. Like nighttime, just walking through there and just hoping that nothing happened. And it was like it was like not even in the middle of Berlin. It's like way outside of Berlin. Takes like half an hour to get there. But yeah, that would be my first word. Berlin.
That sounds
very
pretty
Berlin.
Cool. Good first answer. When we say the voice of Germany,
I would say Claudia. Claudia was my candidate who then won in the end.
Oh, well done.
Thank
that's
you.
Wicked.
I mean, I can't take the thanks because she won, but she's on my team. So
well done.
Cool.
Well done, Claudia.
Well done, Claudia.
Okay, when we say Paper Plane Records, you say?
I say, well, I'm really, really bad at the speed round. Paper Plane Records, I would just say... Paul. I shouldn't say names though. I'm just saying names. Paper Plane Records. God, this is really hard. This is like the hardest part of the game.
It's not a game. This is serious. It's not. Who said this was a game?
Okay, Paper Plane Records, I'm gonna say hard work.
Nice. Work.
Hard okay. work. A lot so, of hard work.
Okay, when we say Bastille, you say
love. As in, I love them.
Okay.
As in, like, they're amazing people, and I had the time of my life on their tour, and I miss them.
That's good. That's good.
I'm just going to pause the quickfire round.
Oh,
for...
yeah. So many trolleys passing around. I love it.
It's one of my least favorite noises. When we say Germany, what's the first thing that springs to mind?
I mean, unfortunately, Bier. As in, like, beer, as in, like, drinking. But
do you say unfortunately?
Yeah.
That's not unfortunate.
Well, because it's such a stereotype. Because it's like, but unfortunately, yeah, I'm going to pick the stereotype, but I really should pick something like beautiful landscapes and mountains. And I'm just going to go
pretzels.
With pretzels. Pretzels. Can I change my answer to Bavarian pretzels?
No.
Yeah, we should.
Okay, we're going to end on a deep one. When we say Alice Merton.
Oh, God. Work in progress.
Someone else said that.
I was going to say, I think we've had
someone else said that.
I mean, we all are, theoretically. It's the most probably obvious answer of what you are. I mean, what would you say if someone went JC?
Icon.
Legend.
Exactly.
Complete.
Complete it, mate. Yeah. I agree with the work in progress. I'm trying to think who it was. I feel like it was it
Tom
Shea, maybe from Gorillaz.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Anyway,
I love that you pointed over there because that's the table that we did the podcast in.
Is
you're
Jack
like Shea over there. Yeah. It's like what is he there? Great, awesome. Well,
cool.
that's the end of the.
Well, thank you so much for having
the podcast.
Having
no,
me, guys.
Is there anything
really
else you want to add?
That I want to get off my chest.
Yeah.
Any more beefs?
any more beef?
Any more fights? No, I think we've mentioned so much. It was really nice meeting you guys.
You too.
And I hope I I hope it was fun for you guys as well, and it wasn't too tedious.
And a brilliant drink choice as well.
Thank you.
Again,
can I ask what the usual drink is that's ordered? Is it beer?
It's normally beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
It changes. I think we've had a few beers, but we've had like
or Bucks Fizz. We've had
Bucks Fizz.
We've had quite coffee.
Yeah, we've done quite a few in the morning, so it's like. Coffee teas,
but then it ends up being a beer.
and then
was I the first gin and tonic?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I don't think we've had gin and tonic.
It's a quiet taste.
I feel like I'm going to continue the evening drinking gin and tonic now.
I think that's the safe bet as well, because I think if you mix anything now, you end up crying.
Because we're going for a meal now.
Yeah,
and
you're going for a meal. Where are you guys going?
A place called.
Going.
What's it called?
Burger King.
KF.
Cafe Bohime.
Cafe Bohime.
Yeah. It's in. It's on Old Compton Street.
Old Compton Street, apparently.
Okay. Was it a recommendation or?
We're meeting our A&R from our record label. Our wonderful record label.
Who happens to be called Tick.
Who happens to be called Tick.
His name is Tick.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
We're gonna go see a doctor
so
immediately after.
Tell him the Tick story. That's so cool. What label are you guys signed to?
Red Bull Records.
Oh, nice.
Shout out Red Bull Records and all the crew. And Tick, who we're about to meet at KFC shortly.
And drink some gin and tonics
with.
Some G&Ts.
Tidy up. Well, yeah, no, thanks so much for coming. And yeah, we'll see you.
If there's ever a season two, I'm happy to come back.
This is season two.
Yeah. If there's season three.
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. We'll do a recap, but just have some more beef between now
okay,
and then.
Okay, more beef with more
just
people.
Just basically kick off.
Just stat, yeah.
And then we'll do the
start some rumors.
Sounds good. Yeah. I will work on that.
Wicked. Thank you very much. A huge thanks to Alice for being part of the podcast and the Islington Hilton Hotel Bar for having us yet again.
Yes.
I think it was the third, fourth or fifth time we've recorded a podcast there now, even if they did provide us with their own sound effects.
Yeah, what were they doing? We couldn't do this podcast without you guys listening, so a huge thanks to you for being part of the Floors family. If you do like what you hear, then let us know. There's nothing better than getting a little DM on the Floors page or on the Meet at the Hotel Bar saying how much you enjoyed a certain story or how our sultry tones help bring to life an otherwise long and boring morning commute for you.
And make sure you like, comment and subscribe anywhere and everywhere you can. It's all about that algorithm. You can find us most places at Meet at the Hotel Bar or meetatthehotelbar.com. It really does make so much difference for us as an independent podcast in trying to climb those big badass podcast charts.
Join us next time when we'll be chatting to everyone's favourite backflipper, Aston from JLS. Expect stories of Vegas memory loss, why JLS have a no white towel policy in their dressing room, impromptu arena power cut acapellas, and getting a life-changing phone call from the Jackson family. Only on